So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
We are looking at the enemies of spiritual growth. The enemies of spiritual growth. You could have imagined how life would be if it was without the adversary, if life was without the enemy. You could have imagined how simple the Accra city would have been. Where you are walking in the night and you are not afraid that someone will snatch your phone. When you are sleeping and you are not afraid that the noise at the background will be the scheming of armed robbers to attack you. You could have imagined. The truth of the matter is, the household will spend a lot on security, from electric fencing into doors into everything, because they are aware that there is something called the enemy. So you don't just live to be comfortable. You have to provide extra to prevent this guy called enemy. Every nation, Ghana, no matter how we are broke, in 2022, an amount of $229 million was spent on defense. Because they know that we are not just a nation, there will be an enemy. And we are not waiting for the enemy to come. Before, United States of America, an amount of $766 billion is spent on defense in 2022. Ghana has gone to borrow $3 billion from IMF. Somebody is spending $766 billion, not Ghanaian cedis, dollars, on security. I'm told in North Korea, 33.3% of all their budget and what they cultivate, the gross domestic product, is that okay? What GDP, whatever they get, 33% is spent on security. It's not if they get 10 cities, more than 3 cities will be budgeted because they are aware that the enemy will come. Even Israel, the Holy Land, where God himself promised that I will be a wall of fire around and the glory within, their budget for security is $24 billion. Israel is like Togo. Their population is like Togo. But they are spending $24 billion. If Ghana gets $24 billion, our life will never be the same. But that is how much people are prepared to spend, because there is something called the enemy. If the physical enemy must provoke this reaction to contain him, if the physical must necessitate that people should be vigilant, people should be wise like this, so that they can prevent the work of the enemy, how much more won't the spiritual enemy be prepared for? You want to grow. There is an enemy that is targeting your growth. So in your expenditure, in your budget, how much is reserved for spiritual security? How much is reserved for spiritual security? Don't just plan to grow as a Christian. Plan that when the enemy comes, how am I going to contain him? Luke chapter 2. Verse 34, Bible says, this child will be responsible for the falling and the rising of many. And he will be a sign that will be spoken against.
Luke 2:34.
Yes.
Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, This child is destined for the fall and rising of
many. So when you see Jesus, the coming of Christ is the fall of some people. You cannot stand with that one is there. And the coming of Christ is the rising of some people. So when your pastor mentioned restoration, church, which angle are you? Are you at the angle you are going to fall because Christ has come? Or you are the angle you are going to rise because Christ has come? Then he said,
and for a sign which will be spoken against.
And a sign which everybody will be against. You will have expected that the coming of Christ will call for celebration. All what the church is doing. You see, people are spending millions of money on rehabilitation centers just to get people change. Then someone comes to give testimony that they were struggling with fornication to an extent that they are prepared to die, not to fornicate. Yet, that preparedness didn't stop them. And they entered to a woman, naked, sat on them, we got the error right. And something has the power to prevent you from such an act. So the words you have written articles celebrating such victory. Somebody was a thief. Somebody was smoking. Someone was an armed robber. And nothing can stop the person. In some way, somehow, the evangelist lanky taking pure water spoke to that person. And the person changed. The president should have come and congratulated that young man. But unfortunately, everybody is telling us how much the world is being destroyed by the church. They are not telling us how much the world is repaired by the church. So don't take it for granted that if you are going to grow spiritually into the image of the sign that will be spoken by everybody, there will not be enemies. Those who are standing and they are growing consistently is because they've developed burglar proof. Hallelujah. So your burglar proof will determine whether you will stand or whether you become a phobia because thieves are coming. Hallelujah. So today, I'm quite ambitious. We are going to look at 10 enemies to spiritual growth. So when you see them anywhere, you know, in the Old Testament, if you have leprosy, you will have to come outside the city. And if you are in town, you have to cover your mustache and everything. And while people are still far away from you, you shout, unclean. Not that they are unclean. You are unclean. So when you see any of these 10 guys, tell them, unclean. You don't want to get closer. Enemy number one, I'm going to be unconventional. Enemy number one is the social media. Enemy number one is the social media. Now, with the coming of social media, there are endless advantages, opportunities. But at the same time, too, people are now dying spiritually because of what the social media can do. In Ezekiel chapter 23, we are going to read verse 13 to 16. Ezekiel chapter 23. Verse 13 to 16. Here is about two daughters, and they were prostitutes. But the first one prostituted herself, went after wealthy men around East Legon and Cantonment. And after they were done sleeping with her, they went ahead to kill her, slay her, make her miserable. And one would have thought that the younger sister would learn how the end of elder sister was and changed. But this was the account of the younger sister. Let's read it.
Then I saw that she was defiled. Both took the same way.
Yes.
But she increased her harlotry. She looked at men portrayed on the wall.
That is it. What made her to increase is that she looked at men portrayed on the wall.
Images of Chaldeans portrayed in vermilion.
Chaldeans portrayed
in vermilion.
Yes.
girded with belts around their waist,
yes,
flowing turbans on,
yes,
their heads, all of them looking like captains.
So once they watch on the walls, the paintings, the images from WhatsApp, the images, they were looking like captains.
In the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea,
yes,
the land of their nativity.
Thank you.
As soon as her eyes saw them, she lusted for them.
She lusted. What brought lust was because of what she saw.
And sent messages to
them. Then she wrote email, Instagram, Telegram, WhatsApp. She sent a message to them. I said, hi. This is the impact of what you see. What you see on social media has the significance to suffocate, that is, dry up your spiritual life. Say that the energy expend on such social platforms, by the time you come back to your spiritual growth, you are already a dry brook that nothing can revive you again. This wisdom of what you see you become was first established by our grandfather. His name was Jacob. When he was in the household of Laban, in Genesis chapter 30, if I get it right, let's start from verse 37.
Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar, mm-hmm, and of the almond and chestnut trees,
yes,
peeled white strips in them,
mm-hmm,
and exposed the white which was in the rod.
Yes.
And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters.
Now, forget the agricultural terminology. He took a stick and peeled off the outer. And it was now white. And he placed it before the sheep, the goat, the animals that were to drink water. Let's go.
In the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink.
Yes.
So that they should conceive when they came to drink.
So, as they are watching the peeled stick, they conceive. And when they conceive, they are bearing the color of what they were watching whilst drinking the water. Let's go.
So the flocks conceived before the rods. And the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted.
So the color of what was born was because of what they were looking whilst drinking water, whilst eating. The social media has the capacity to make you or make you. Some people's marriages are like this because of borrowed ideas of frustrated divorced women who are now experts on social media teaching you principles that never work for them. Some people's spiritual life is like this because of sold out ideas on social media. So when you spend the youth, I mean, people of older generation, this will not be your temptation. But if you are older than me, you are in the older generation. But from me and downward, we are the younger generation. So if you are older than me, you are too old. Yes. If you are like me, you are a guy. Hallelujah. Now, this is our problem. The time that will have been spent on the work of God is spent on different information put on different platforms. So the same thing sent you on WhatsApp, the same thing that is posted on Facebook, the same thing on Instagram. So you are reading one information, but on five different channels. And by so doing, time is gone. And by the time you finish, what you have swallowed is what you bring out. Garbage in, garbage out. So social media is killing people. Not only that, you begin to lust. The purpose of the social media is to make us buy into what they are doing. So things that we've never have conceived by the exposure to social media, we are now slaves to it. May God help us. What are you beholding? In the other way, a spiritual person wants to grow. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, we all with unveiled faces beholding us in the mirror, the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are being transformed to that image from one degree of glory to the other. In Psalm 16 verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me, And because he's at my right hand side, I will never be shaken. In Exodus chapter 34, from verse 29, Bible says, when Moses, also read this one, when Moses came down from the mountain, the skin of his face was shining with the glory of God because Moses was talking to God.
Exodus 34, verse 29. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him.
The most important thing for me here is that Moses did not know. Negative things happened to people and did not know. Judges 16:20, Samson did not know that the Lord has left him. Positive also happened, they did not know. You are the product of your devotion. So in other words, if you are confused what you are devoted to, just watch your result, your product, and it will give you an indication of what has been eating you all this time. Are you becoming like Christ? What are you beholding? Are you becoming all like Christ? Are you beholding? That which you behold, that which you gaze, the portrait you've been watching, after some time, they will define you. One of these days, you give birth to a child, and you will not be surprised the child is looking like Shatawale. But that is what you have been beholding. Number two, is business. Not business, oh, business. You have busy business. The social orientation, I mean the grouping, things we do now. It's in such a way that it is the era of the survivor of the fittest. If you are not strong, you will not survive. Even if you are selling at Medina Market. Last week, I went to Medina and the main station. I was doing mobile money. Then here was a girl who spotted me miles away and read that I would do mobile money. And she started campaigning. Come to me. And I was wondering, since when has a mobile money merchant become serious like that? Not knowing, opposite her was another guy wild as her. So your ability to get customers is not how much you can lure them while they are far away. If you go and you are just selling clothes by the market, nobody will mind you. You have to go by the roadside. And as you see the young guy, you will remove the color that you... This one, it will fit you. This is Japan made. And that. Even bread. They will sell 2-year-old bread for you. And tell you that they brought it today. So the world is in such a way that if you are cool, you don't go chop. You must be some weight in order to survive. Now, in that survivor became a tool for Satan to prevent people from growing. So he has put mechanism in place that will forever keep you busy. And you are so busy about the ordinary things that you can never remember your quiet time. You are justifiably busy while you cannot read your Bible. You are justifiably busy while you cannot pray, while you can't join prayer chain. You can't come for the all night. By the time Pastor Over asked why you couldn't come, you will explain and you will apologize that I'm very sorry for even asking you in the first place. Yes. You are so correct that the person who was asking you is now apologizing for not thinking. One day Pastor Over told me that, I mean, hear the story. Somebody said he wants to make so much money before marriage. So that when he comes for the traditional wedding late, he has come late. The in-laws have been waiting. But because he's so rich and he came late, the in-law will apologize that, oh, my son-in-law, we are so sorry that we woke up too early. This principle started with Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5. We are reading from verse 7.
Exodus chapter 5, verse 7. You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle.
They are idle.
Therefore they cry out saying.
Now, the reason they have time to listen to the prophecies the reason they have time to listen to the Savior that is sent, Moses and Aaron, the reason they have time and to remember their God and cry out to him in heaven is because in the eyes of Pharaoh, they were idle. So to him, idleness means that you just come to church and you are clapping. You wake up, the way Ghana is hard, you sit down and you are doing quieter. Are you serious? That's why you are never employed up to this time. Are you serious? Yeah, you are going for missions. Are you serious? They make you think that because you have nothing to do, that is why you are doing what you are doing. That is what they want you to feel. The most painful thing is that somebody is a lawyer and feels he's working. Somebody is a comedian and the person organizes people and tells profane jokes and people are prepared to pay. And the guy is a hard-working young guy trying to make it. Then a young guy who forsake the mother and the father and all the goodness of life and plant a church or give all his all until he's 25 years, but the hair is only bowed. Then that young guy, by God's grace, something is happening. Morning, evening, they are evangelism, studying the Bible. Go and try reading the Bible through, and you see how it is. And rather, if this young guy that is lazy, he doesn't have anything to do, you are not serious.
Okay.
You are not serious. Permission. You are not serious. Hallelujah. So the thing you are idle. So what Satan will do is that they will load you more and more. So you are now busy about these things that you don't have time. If you understand the kingdom we are now, a businessman should be more spiritual than a pastor. The politician should be more spiritual than a pastor. Why? Because the pastor is only in DMT. So when we come to honor, the demons here will go. The parliament you are going, the occult people you are going to compete with, you will pray more all night than those in ministry. Our business, the more we are promoted, the more we should be more serious about spiritual things. So it will push us to measure up to. Because in football, they have away and home advantage. Yes, I'm right, right?
Yeah,
if you are going to play away, you are likely to lose. Because you are going to play opponent where they have the home support. Everybody there is supporting them. But you don't have anybody to support. If you are playing at home, you have home advantage. Because all your people will be supporting you. And when the stadium is nice, that's when we can score. Is that okay? Now, if you are in church, you are having home advantage. Because if you try to do anything, mama can look at you and you comport.
I tell you.
Yes. There are some sins. If you are among the brethren, the sin itself will not even remember that I'm ashamed this guy. Because you are among the brethren. Because home support. Yes. But when you go outside the world, away in support, that is when you know that it's not easy. Somebody called me from U.S. and said that when Ghanaian guys come to U.S., things change. This, because all their prayer topics are answered. They don't need to pray again. So their spiritual life is gone. The business. One time, in 1 Kings chapter 20, from verse 38 to 40, 1 Kings chapter 20, 38 to 40, a young prophet confronted the king.
1 Kings 20, verse 38 to 40. Then the prophet departed and waited for the king by the road and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. Now as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, "Your servant went out into the midst of the battle. And there a man came over and brought a man to me and said, 'Guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life.'"
Listen to the condition. Listen to the one that I went to the battle. You were standing outskirts. You pretend as with us, but you are not really with us. I went to the battle and I caught a captive. And I'm giving this captive to you. And the condition is that life for life, or you pay a talent of silver. If this guy is gone, it is at the cost of your life. You expect this guy to go and buy coffee and drink and be awake so that he can guide what is entrusted to him. But read the verse 40.
Verse 40.
Mala, mala, mala.
While your servant was busy here and there.
Are you seeing that? At the risk of your life, You can be busy here and there.
He was gone.
He was gone. At the rest of your life. You see, the spiritual growth is your life. That is what you are. At the rest of your life, you can be busy here and there. Say the word God has entrusted into your hand can slip away. The second enemy to spiritual growth is I am busy. I am busy. I am busy. Give your excuse an excuse. Number three is lack of understanding. Lack of understanding. Jesus Christ gave us a parable. And he said that there was a farmer, a sower, who went out to plant seeds. And some of the seed fell by the roadside. Then immediately the birds came and ate them up. Then the other seed fell by the rocky places. And immediately they started growing. But because they do not have the root, they die off. Then the third seed fell among thorns. The land is fertile. The second one, the land was the issue. The first one, the land was the issue. But this third one, not the land. But there was something on the land called thorns. So as the plants were growing, the thorns shook them and they died. And Jesus is now telling us what these things mean. And the first one, that is our number three, lack of understanding, is in verse 19. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19.
Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside.
That is a funny thing. It means that any time you come to church and you do not understand the sermon, don't leave until you understand the sermon before you go out. Anytime you do your quiet time, you read your Bible, and you do not understand any instruction, sit on it. So you can imagine Sundays, the number of articulators that will be arranged before churches. Because they will come out without understanding, and Satan has sent people to collect the word of God. He has to come with articulators to load God's word because they do not understand. The major problem people cannot grow is that you can never make sense. Your life can never be transformed by things you don't understand. Luke chapter 2 verse 50. Even the parents of Jesus, when he told them that I must be in my father's house, Bible said they do not understand. The disciples of Jesus, Mark chapter 9 from verse 30, when he began telling them he's going to die, they do not understand. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Even after the resurrection, they did not understand. Their understanding is unfruitful. Therefore, they can never grow. It's an enemy because it's going to prevent you from growing. So everything that will prevent us from understanding is what is being unleashed onto us. So our ability to grow is because we understand. When light comes, that's what Bible says, the entrance of God's word is what brings light and understanding to the simple. You don't understand. So you can even read the Bible, you pray, and you don't understand. You make the sacrifice of fools because they don't understand what they are doing. You can never grow as a Christian. One day when the revelation comes, that single revelation can change your entire life. It can change. You are struggling with a certain sin. God just needs to open one passage. And you wake up and you can't imagine that it was me that was still into this. When God grants us understanding to know that sin is as filthy as when a dog vomit and came back to take the that when they force us to sin, we tell them that I understand them. Number four. Let's continue with the passage, the Matthew passage.
Matthew 13, verse 20 now. But he who received the seed on stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles.
Now, the enemy here, number four, is the tribulation, persecution. It is a necessary path as enemy, as package for us to grow. But your ability to stop, you have root. If you are not grounded, there is no you can survive on this earth. The difference between those who are fallen and those who are standing is because they have a solid foundation. They have root. When did Jesus Christ speaking in Matthew chapter 7, from verse 24 to 28, is there anyone who hears these words of mine and put them to practice can be likened to a wise builder who builds on the rock and said, the rain came, the flood came, and the wind came and beat against the house. But the house did not fall because it is built on the rock. But anyone who hears these teachings of mine and do not understand, do not put them to practice, it's like a foolish builder who built on the sand. So there is a day of testing in every single thing you claim to be. The reason Satan exists is to make sure you are correct or you are for him. That is how it is, to intimidate you to know where you are. If your roots are shallow, you can never stand. Number five. Okay, let's go on. The fifth one. It says that anyone who hears the word of God, they receive it with joy, but their tongues shook it. And this represents the curse of this world.
Verse 22 now.
Yes.
Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and
this,
he becomes unfruitful.
It's called the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Do you know that in our minds right now, you will just be okay if you have a little more of what you have? But it's not that you want to be rich, you just want a little more of what you have. Is that a little more that is keeping Bill Gates not to sleep? Is that a little more that is keeping Dangote not to sleep? The guy at East Legon is more in hurry to be richer than the guy at Choco. The riches will never tell you that you have enough. That is why the solution to the Bible is not that you don't aim to go high, but be content with what you have while you strive for more. It's called the deceitfulness of riches. Some people think that now they are young, let them work and get money. Then when they are 50, 60, then they can retire and work for God. They are 75, they are on pension, but they are still doing some work somewhere. They don't get the whole thing. Because their money is called the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life. The normal routines of life, caring for children, Irama, caring for a wife, that you never plan that you are going to delay a marriage. It's called a curse. Now, it's a legitimate concern. But that alone, and all your prayer topic is not a matter. You forget everything. You never plan that you are not going to have a child. You never plan for divorce. You never plan for job loss. You never plan that when you apply for school with your credential, they can look into your face and say, come next year. You know, when this thing comes, the pursuing of this normal routine can make you forget. And they are compared to thorns. As you are growing, then they give it to you. This are pucho. These are pucho. So imagine if you are surrounded by such thorns. The enemy for spiritual growth. Number six. The thief one is bad doctrine. Bad doctrine is a poison for your spiritual growth. Bad doctrine. I have seen people zealous who left the estate in America to come to Ghana for evangelism. And when they came, they were walking, some with bicycle, and their mormons. In their mind, they are doing everything. So when you are growing and you begin to give heed to bad doctrine, it says as poison that can kill your entire Christian life. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 32. I think it's easy to remember. Deuteronomy 32:32.
Deuteronomy 32, verse 32. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter.
Thank you. There are some people, this gall, proper translation use, poison. I like that. So their vine, when you are drinking from such vine, you are drinking vine from Sodom. When you are drinking from such vine, you are drinking from Gomorrah. You can never grow proper. It will make you grow wrongly when you are exposed to the doctrine of Jezebel, the doctrine of Balaam, such doctrines. So when you are growing spiritually and you are not careful with your doctrinal stand, you begin to grow in the opposite direction. You begin to grow in the opposite direction. I've shared a story and I'm sharing it again. You've seen the video about children that were running baton. So when I run to you, you take the baton, then you two, you run. Then you give it to your next partner. Then the person to run. Here was a child who was the whole team. And the first guy did a marvelous job. He outran everybody and passed on the baton. Instead of him to continue in the desired direction, with his full speed, he came back in the opposite direction. Once the rest were running back. False doctrine will make you like that. You will still be doing a lot thinking you are for the kingdom. But this false doctrine will poison you. Jesus speaking, compared them to yeast they use in making bread in Matthew chapter 16, verse 12. So, one of the major enemies to spiritual growth is false doctrine. Beware. Number 7. My time is up. Number 7 is bad company. Bad company. Some of the people you follow can make you osofo mami, osofo papa overnight. The same way, some of the friends, just a single invite to a nightclub will change your life forever. There are some friends, when you come closer to them, they take more from you than they give. So Bible says we should not be deceived. Bad company corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. My time is up. But the effect of all what I'm trying to say is that we are starting with major growth pillars. And these growth pillars, their ability to survive is your preparedness to deal with the enemies that will compete for the word of God in your heart. If you're able to do that, then you can give your life wholly to the growth pillars. But if these enemies are not taken care of, you will struggle to build. And after building, everything will come down. Bruh. I came from a place where they were building with Atakwami, the madhouse. And one of the dangerous things and the frustration of your life is if you don't start building early, then the rain starts coming. In the rainy season, you can finish the whole house like it used a week to build. Then one night rain will come and bring everything. Blah. And you need somewhere to stay. You have to struggle again. Collect. People pity you. Then you build. And some people, their house are not good. When they finish building, then another major rain. Blah. Until they give up altogether. Please and please, watch out for the enemies. So we will not build our spiritual pillars. And one rain will bring us back. Blah. Let us build strong. Shall we pray? Speak to the Lord concerning spiritual growth. Clear the way for me, tell the Lord. In my journey to grow, clear the way, clear the way, clear the way. Uproot every potential enemy. that will reduce my spiritual growth, and that will reduce my impact. In the name of Jesus, Majuki Kapalagada, they cry to the Lord. Mashudia Kapa is able to keep up to the end. Marushakata, let him move ahead and clear tongues away. Marishakata, Mariki Anto Shakiakata, Eroshakiaba,
Gadavalusadaba,
Rashadaba, Raki Kapalagata. They speak to the Lord, Raki Agata. They cry to him. Which of the pillars are you struggling with? Which of the area are you struggling with? Is it your word? Is it your prayer? Is it your character? Tell the Lord, I don't want to drink from poison wine, from poison fire. In the name of Jesus,
we don't want to be like the Lord. In the name of Jesus, be the of the world.
In the name of Jesus. Some of us, we have history of spiritual growth. We know how we used to be when we were. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But something happened and brought us back to where we are now. If we're growing on the normal trajectory, this is not where you'll have found us. Some of us are like that. But Bible said, but the hair of Samson began to grow again. The hair of Samson began to grow again. You want to pray to the Lord that I want my hair to grow again. Mashada balakapa. You have lost it. Let the land of this able. Bible said that Joseph was like a fruitful vine.
That's right.
And as a fruitful vine, out of envy, anger shot against him. Some of us, we are growing normal. We are fruitful.
That's right.
But the enemy is shooting arrows to make sure that we will die. To make sure that our growth will stop. To make sure that we cannot realize. But the Bible says, he remained steady. He was unmoved. Even though archers shot at him, they could not bring him down. You want to pray that every arrow thrown by the enemy against my spiritual life, I want to stand stronger. I want to stand stronger.
You cannot stand stronger in our lives in the name of Jesus. Because the Lord is our strength, and we will be bound. We are not going to move. Because we stand on the rock, Jesus shine in the rock. Lebanon's gonna deliver in the mighty name of Jesus. We are grounded and we will not be moved. Lebanon's gonna deliver. I will not be moved. Lebanon's gonna deliver. No weapon formed against our prosper. Lebanon's gonna deliver.
Who will not fall? We'll be here evangelizing. We'll be here prophesying. We'll be here teaching the Bible. We'll be here transforming into the image of God, into the image of Christ. Nothing will pull us down. No arrow, no power of hell, no scheme of man, no activity, no background. We'll be here, Mashapa, Rakade Shapa, Antoni Bakata. We shall become stronger. We shall become stronger in the spirit. We shall never be swept by the wind.
In the name of Jesus.
All humility, lift your right hand with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus,
here, Lord Jesus.
Give me strength.
Give me strength.
Give me grace.
Give me grace.
Give me power.
Give me power.
Give me strength.
Give me strength.
Give me grace.
Give me grace.
Give me power.
Give me power.
For spiritual growth.
For spiritual growth.
For spiritual growth.
For spiritual growth.
Give me hunger.
Give me hunger.
And test. For spiritual things.
For spiritual things. For spiritual things.
Say, dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Anything.
That has drained.
My spiritual effort.
Oh God.
Restore. I see packages of food given to people.
Yes, Lord.
I see packages of
food
given to people. Grace is supply for growth. Grace is supply for growth. Grace is supply for growth. Grace is supply. Let those who are weak receive strength. Let those who are weak receive strength. Let extraordinary grace be released for us to do that which was struggling. That you go to pray.
Yes, Lord.
And you thought you were doing for 30 minutes. And God takes over. Hush. And it's an all night.
Yes.
You thought you were reading the Bible for 30 minutes, quiet time. And by the time you check the time, you have done 6 hours reading continuously. That you thought you were just going to try to pray and see whether the person will be well or not. But after you spoke a word, the cripple got up and started walking. This is what we call grace. This is what we call grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, that encounter that will push us into spiritual growth now and forever.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, I can see the love.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.